Okay, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray our prayer to the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse. Spirit Sanctifier, hear, I implore you, I pray you again. May your will known to all, so that by knowing it, they may love it and may welcome your first act of their complete sanctification, which is your holy will. Mary, Seat of Wisdom, pray for us, help of all Christians. Pray for us in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, today we will continue with our reading, the letters.
Yes. Letter number 91 to Mother Cecilia. My good and reverend mother, here I am to give you my wishes for Holy Christmas. And what better wish to give you than to send you little Jesus so that he may make you be born together with him? Oh, how he longs for it and comes to the point of crying because he does not want to be alone, but wants the creature to be born and live together with him. The dear baby will say to you, to the ear of your heart, my daughter, let me live in you. Do everything together with me, and I will give you my sanctity to make you a saint, my beauty to embellish you, my wisdom so that everything may be order within you. Then I will give you the great gift of my will to let you breathe, palpitate, love together with me. He will tell you, only then will I be content when I see that you look like me in everything. My dearest mother, let us make Jesus content. Let us be reborn with him and live together with him. He is newly born and does not want to be alone. He feels the need of the company of someone to kiss him and to dry his tears. My mother, this is my wish. I believe that your maternity will be content, more so, since every additional act we do in the divine will is a new birth for us. We are reborn in Jesus and he in us. In this way, we will make little Jesus happy, leaving you to be reborn with together with Jesus. I kiss your right hand, the little daughter of the divine will. Amen, fiat.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. In previous classes, sessions, we have been talking about the gift of the divine will as a whole. And we have been using this passage from volume 29 to grow a little bit more and to expand in the understanding of the whole gift, the gift as a whole. And then just a reminder, what we have seen, that the Lord tells Luisa Picaretta that we have to remember and then to offer, recall, remember, and offer. And in this passage that we just read, Luisa Picaretta is telling this sister about the baby Jesus. Basically, she's talking on behalf of our Lord Jesus and as a baby, and she says that the baby Jesus will say to you, to the ear of your heart. So is Luisa Picaretta basically talking on behalf of our Lord, or imagining what the Lord will say to her. And this is what, according to her, our Lord, the baby Jesus, will say to her. My daughter, let me live in you. Do everything together with me. This letter was written, more probably more than 100 years ago now. But this is the same message for us, that this is what the Lord wants to do with this gift that He is bestowing upon the whole human race, that He wants to live with each one of us, in each one of us. That He wants to do everything together with us. So He wants to be with us in that common union of the two wills, in that unity. And then Luisa Picaretta says, He will say, I will give you my sanctity to make you a saint. So many times we talk about the original sanctity, and this is the original sanctity. The original sanctity was not to be a Franciscan, a Benedictine, Dominican, no. The original sanctity before the fall is the sanctity of being united with the will of God, as Adam and Eve were created in that unity. So this is the sanctity of God Himself. Sharing his life with the creature through that union in which Adam was created. And then we can go and read in 374 of the Catechism, and that will corroborate what we are saying here. That was the original state of holiness, that unity, that's the original sanctity that the church talks about. So it's exactly what Luisa Picaretta is talking about here. So he says that our Lord wants to give us His beauty to embellish us, His wisdom. So all of these are divine qualities, divine attributes, His wisdom, His beauty. And then he says, so that everything may be ordered within you, within us. And I want to go back to that passage, because in that other passage, the Lord says, without you doing everything for the kingdom, without you having in mind that everything you do has to be for the coming of the kingdom of the divine will to reign upon earth, then everything will be imperfect. Disorder. He uses that word, disorder, right? It will be imperfect and disordered, incomplete. These are the three words that he uses: incomplete, imperfect, disorder. So he wants to do everything. I want to give you my wisdom so that everything may be ordered within you. So all our acts then will be completely ordered if we have in mind that this is the intention that we have to have. So we have here, we have kind of like some steps. We have to know the gift. Then we have to know how to unite ourselves to the divine will. So basically go to that passage of volume 14, the prevenient act and the actual act. And that's the way, one of the ways to unite. Then you have to have that intention that it has to be for the kingdom of the divine will to reign on earth as it reigns in heaven. That's the purpose. And this will make your acts perfect, complete, and in order. Of course, we are assuming, or I'm assuming, that all of us, we are trying to live a sacramental life, that we are in the state of grace to do all these acts, so that the grace of God can work through our nature. Remember, this is the teaching of the church. Grace builds upon nature, right? So then Luisa Picaretta continues and she says that our Lord will say, He will tell you, says, only then will I be content. So this is Luisa Picaretta telling the sister and right now telling all of us that our Lord Jesus will be content if he sees that we look like him in everything, in everything. Remember our Lord Jesus, he took on our human nature and he's like us in everything but sin. In everything but sin. So then we go to the Catechism 521, and the church tells us that everything he lived, he's able to repeat in us and we in him. So yes, he is able to breathe, to palpitate in us, to do everything in us, with us. That's what he wants. So now, using our freedom, our will, freely uniting to him and having in mind that all that we do is for this, for the kingdom of divine will to descend upon earth. And then Luisa continues and she says, let us make Jesus content. Let us be reborn with him and live together with him. He's newly born and does not want to be alone. He feels the need to of the company of someone to kiss him and to dry his tears. Remember that we have to offer everything. So basically, whenever we encounter all these his tears, his the life of our Lord Jesus in any of the stages. Right, of his life, we have to remember that now we have to offer those acts of our Lord Jesus again for the same purpose that he offered those for the fulfillment of the Our Fathers. My daughter, this is my wish. I believe that your maternity will be content, more so since every additional act we do in the divine will is a new birth for us. We are born in Jesus because he's able to repeat his life in us and we in him and he in us. So right there is the catechism, the teaching of the Catechism 521. This is the way we will make little Jesus happy. And not only are happy, but we will make the whole heaven happy. Before we go to the next letter today, I want to share with you another passage that I think is important going in this line to understand also how we have to do the acts to offer everything. So I want to share with you the passage from volume 23. October 6, 1927. And Luisa Picaretta says, I was continuing my acts in the divine fiat, and my sweet Jesus, moving in my interior, told me, My daughter, one who operates in my will works in my divine properties. In my will, sorry, and she forms her acts within my interminable goods of light, of sanctity, of love, of happiness without end, acts which are transformed into sons. So, right there, he says that we enter basically into what he is, and he mentions some of the divine qualities again, sanctity, love, light, goodness, and happiness. And he says that these acts are transformed into sons, right? The Lord keeps using throughout the book of heaven, he uses, he's very consistent. in all of this. I think we shared this passage before also. But you go and you compare this passage with volume 14 again, and it's very consistent. And he's always telling us that those acts in union with him, they are transformed in the soul of the creature, in all of us, who is so in that way, we clearly see or we are able to understand how he's sharing what he is, his light. What are the divine qualities or the attributes that God is light? So we see the attribute of light in nature, in the sun, for example. The sun tells us something about God that is able to produce life and that he in himself is light. So then whenever we do our acts in union with the divine will, he says again, those are acts are transformed into suns in your soul. And these suns are produced by my own qualities, which have made themselves available for the acts of the soul, for their decorum, and so that these acts might be worthy of her creator and might remain as perennial acts in God himself. So they may remain forever. Again, this idea that all the good that we do or the saints have done, it is around the throne of God forever, is there forever. Glorifying him and loving him with his very divine acts. Right? So God gets, he receives glory, he receives love with these acts that are done in union with his will. And then this is the part that I want to share with you. So before his sin, Adam formed as many sons in his creator for as many acts as he did. For as many acts as he did. Now, one who lives and operates in my will finds these sons made by him, meaning by Adam, and therefore your whole commitment must be to follow the first acts of creation and to take your work place near the last son or act, which Adam did when he possessed the unity of will with his creator. So, two things. All the acts that Adam did before the fall, they are there around the throne of God. So, we have learned now in the other passage that we have to remember, we have to recall, remember, and to offer. So, we can do something very practical and very simple to offer all the acts that Adam did before the fall, to offer all that good, all those acts, all those sons. And to offer them to God, and he will receive glory. That's what he's saying. And then he's telling to Lucifer that, but after the fall, he lost this unity. So it is your office, basically, your work, to take that place and to follow right after he fall. He says, you must make up for what he did not continue doing because he went out of my divine properties and his acts were no longer sons. Remember, the other passage tells us that those acts now, after the fall, even the acts of the saints, even though they are good, pious, and with much love, done with much love, they are still imperfect, disorder, incomplete. So this is what happened with the acts of Adam after the fall. They are in complete disorder, imperfect. Why? Because he went out from that unity that the Catechism is talking about in 374. And what Luisa is doing, or what's her office, to go and to make up for those. How? We will see. In fact, he no longer had my divine qualities in his power. See, before he possessed, and he mentions here that he possessed beauty, wisdom, happiness, sanctity, happiness without end. This is before the fall. And now he says that he no longer have this. Basically, after the fall, he no longer possessed love, complete happiness. He no longer had my divine qualities in his power, which lend themselves to let him for sons. At the most, as good as they might be, his acts reduce themselves to being tiny little flames. So compare a flame with the sun is nothing, is imperfect. Because the human will without mind does not have the virtue of being able to form suns. So this is what happened with the life of the saints, that even though they were good and pious acts, compared to what they have they were designed or supposed to be suns, they remain little flames because the human will without mind does not have the divine virtue of being able to form suns. It lacks the raw material. It will be as if you wanted to form an object of gold without having the metal of gold in your power. As much good will as you might have, it will be impossible for you. My will alone has sufficient light to let the creature form suns, and it gives this light to one who lives in it, within its properties, not to one who lives outside of the divine will. So you must make up for all other creatures. This is very important for us. So here is also what we have to start practicing. This is where we have to become a little bit laborious in living out this gift. You must make up for all other creatures who have not possessed the unity of my will. Your work is great and long. You have much to do within my endless boundaries. Therefore, be attentive and faithful. So, what our Lord says is you have to remember, you have to recall, you have to offer all the good that they did, but also for what they didn't do. And how are we gonna do that? So we've been kind of like practicing, and we say that we offer all the good that Mother Teresa did, and we offer it for the kingdom of divine will to come and reign on earth as it reigns in heaven. For what other creatures didn't do, you must make up for all other creatures. How are we going to make up? So we are going to offer the opposite. For every offense that creatures do to the Lord, we are going to offer His own love, His own beauty, His own happiness, His own wisdom, His own light, everything that He's enumerating, all His divine qualities, to make up for what they are doing. And that's very simple. Just to give you an example, for every offense against charity, we are going to offer him his own charity, his own love. For every offense against chastity, we are going to offer him his own purity, his own beauty. For every offense that he receives, we are going to offer him every word that he preached, every miracle that he performed, every act of charity that he did for the people, all the sentiments of his heart, I don't know if you know of, if you are familiar with the chaplet of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. So for every offense, now we are gonna kind of like learn how to use the treasures that the church has, such as the novenas, the chaplets, to make up. So we go through that litany of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and we offer his own love, his own sentiments, everything that he is. Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, full of love for the Father, have mercy on us, right? So we offer his own love to compensate for the offenses of the creatures, and we offer that for the kingdom of the divine will to come upon earth. Then we pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Eternal Father, offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. So we are the first intention, we offer that for the coming of the divine will to reign upon earth. So you should highlight that passage in volume 29, because every time you do a novena, you do a rosary, remember, in the rosary, we remember the life of our Lord Jesus, so we remember and we offer it for the same purpose that the Blessed Mother was offering it. All her life, the Blessed Mother offered all her life for the kingdom to come, even though she never talked about this. Even though we never heard the Blessed Mother talking in the Gospels, just a couple of times, and it's very simple. You know, let it be done to me. How can this happen to me? Let it be done to me according to your word. And then the Magnificat is as a response, an answer to the prayer, basically, of the Holy Spirit through Elizabeth to the Blessed Mother. So she responds. She corresponds to the Holy Spirit by saying, "My soul magnifies the Lord." So very few times we see the Blessed Mother talking in the Gospels, when our Lord Jesus is found in the temple. And even though she doesn't talk much, and we don't see her talking in the Gospels, her whole life, she had in her mind as an intention, as much as she was able to understand, as she was growing in her nature, in her human nature and understanding, but she, as much as she was able to understand, and every time growing in and growing in, she offered all of that for the kingdom to come. So whenever we pray the rosary, we remember, we offer for the purpose that she did everything. So this is what happens. The heaven receives double, redouble the glory. The saints receive new showers of happiness, of joy, of beauty, of everything, of light, of everything that God is. And then all this is unleashed through the whole world, and everybody will receive according to their disposition. It's like whenever it rains, you go out and you get wet with the rain. You stay in, you receive nothing. You go outside, you put on an umbrella, you get some, right? So this is according to your stating of grace also. So it's very important that now we are understanding how we can offer everything that the church has done in the past to make it perfect, because according to these passages, this is not according to me, this is according to what the Lord is saying, that even though those acts of all the creatures in the past, and he even mentions the saints of the past, and knew, he says in the other passage, the saints ancient and new. So all of what they have done, because they didn't have this in mind, because they didn't have the knowledge. Therefore, even though they are Again, good and pious, and done with good intention, they remain incomplete because they need to have this crown. They need to have the purpose that everything has to be for the kingdom of the divine will to come and reign on earth, because this is the original sanctity. And when Adam fall, God didn't invent another thing. He just found a way to give us back what we lost, and this is the way. So just as Luisa Picaretta, she has a lot of work to do. She has to offer to make up for all the creatures. Then now we are able to understand. So we offer all the good that the saints did, and all the good that those who have died and those who are in heaven, all the good that they have done, we offer it for the gift of the divine will, and for all the offenses that we do to God, to the Blessed Trinity, we offer the opposite. Or we offer the acts of our Lord Jesus. And basically, this is what we see in the Stations of the Cross that the church has been teaching for so many years, but now in the hours of the Passion that we see that in a more clear way. So we offer that to compensate, to make up, and we offer it for the divine will to come and reign on earth, for the fulfillment of the Our Fathers, in whatever way you want to say it, but this has to be in mind. Then we really understand through this passage what the Lord said in the gospel: seek first the kingdom of God, and everything will be done unto you. So whenever we go through suffering, offer it first for the kingdom of the divine will to come and reign on earth as it reigns in heaven. And then you can say, and by the way, please heal me. Right? Because the gospel also says, our Lord Jesus says, ask and it will be given unto you. What if you who are evil know how to do good things to your children, how much more your heavenly Father, right? So he's not saying that he will heal you immediately, but he will give you the peace, the strength to endure the things. He will get you to trials. He will give you the strength to go through all those trials, right? But the important thing is that you didn't waste that. That you offer it for the gift of the divine will to come. So in this way, we also understand how to offer all the prayers that the church has been teaching us during all these more than 2,000 years now. We are approaching Easter, but after Easter, many people they stop doing sacrifices. And because the church, we celebrate the resurrection, but we also have to remember that during those after the resurrection, the disciples remained and they were asking for something very important. They were praying. The Acts of the Apostles tells us that they remain, and even other revelations. They tell us that they remain together, and the Blessed Mother remained with them, praying, 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 and the Holy Spirit came in Pentecost. So for us, especially that we know about this gift of the divine will, it is important, and I want just to put it up there and to propose to you that we should be calling the Holy Spirit with more fervor. To be more attentive to after the resurrection, to be calling the Holy Spirit all until Pentecost, so that we can experience in a greater way the understanding of the gift that because the Holy Spirit is the one who is carrying out this mission. This is the work of the Holy Spirit, the whole fulfillment of our Father, the gift of the divine will to come and reign on earth, is the work of the Holy Spirit. So we should be a little more attentive in calling upon the Holy Spirit, praying, especially after the resurrection, all the way to Pentecost, asking the Holy Spirit to come. Just that simple prayer that we pray, you know, like you make a point even to say it seven times a day during your busy day in your mind. Come, Holy Spirit, come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, your well-beloved spouse, you know, something like that, just to put it up there and to make a point for what? For the kingdom of the divine will to come and reign on earth. That's the whole point. And then everything else that we learn basically is the effects that divine will has in our souls. What happens, the expansion in our souls, what happened in God, that God receives more glory with the saints and everything, that everybody will, the grace will be available for everybody. But also to understand that this is not automatically that everybody will receive it as if this was some kind of magic. No, because remember, grace works through nature. So we have to dispose ourselves to receive that grace. So it is a matter of always the human will consenting, the human will always wanting and saying yes to God. So this is the mission of Lisa Picaretta, and just as she did, we can do the same. So now we can go back again with this example, and we can say, I offer you all the acts, you know, like I remember I want to offer to re I recall I offer all the acts that Adam did after the fall. I want to enlighten them for the gift of the divine will to descend upon earth and try to offer that. Lisa Picaretta then says, "Then I continued my acts, his adorable volition, and as I was going around through the whole creation, my highest good, Jesus added, my daughter, just as my divine will is spread in all creation, so do I want to find you, united with it, in all created things, as though spread within each of them. You will be the heart of the earth, that I may find your life palpitating within it, attesting to me with its continuous heartbeat the love of all its inhabitants. You will be the mouth of the sea, letting the heart your voice and its gigantic waves. In its continuous murmuring, praising me, adoring me, thanking me, and giving me smacking kisses, affectionate and pure in the darting of the fish for yourself and for those who cross the sea." So basically, the idea here is again, now to love God with some beauty, with the voice of the sea, with the voice of the thunder, with every darting of the sea, I mean of the fish in the sea, with every drop of water, everything that is in nature there. So asking, loving God, but also asking with that for the gift of the divine will to descend. So in every sunset to put our act of love and correspondence, and to love him with his own light. All right. Asking him to give us the gift again. And this is very important. The again is very important because this is what we possess. So this is what he wants. He wants to give this gift to the whole human race again, because many times Lisa Picaretta mentions that this is our inheritance. This is what he designed for all of us to possess since the beginning, and that's what we lost. So you will be the arms of the sun, so that as you extend and expand within its light, Everywhere I may feel your arms embracing me and clasping me tightly to tell me that it is me alone that you seek. It is me alone that you want and love. You will be the feet of the wind to run after me and to let me hear the sweet treading of your steps. We should never stop running. Even if you do not find me, I am not content if you do not find my little if I do not find my little daughter in all things created by me for love of her. Again, 358 of the Catechism, all creation is done out of love for us. We are the house of God. We were created to love, to adore him, to serve him, and to return everything back to him. So this is the way we return everything to him. And now to make it perfect, we return it for the gift of the divine will to come and reign on earth as it reigns in heaven. Let's go to the next letter.
Letter number 92. To Miss De Regibus from Turin. My good daughter in the divine will, thank you for your wishes in the divine will. Your long silence made no impression on me, since it is well known that when we are under the weight of humiliations, everyone runs away from us, and some regretted having known us. This happened also to Jesus. But may the divine will be always done. It alone is faithful, even more. It opens its arms to us to give us safe shelter, to feed us with its love, and to say to us, my daughter, do not fear. Give me all your acts that I may raise and nourish my life in you. And know that, to the confusion of those who have not wanted to know my will, it will reign and form its kingdom upon earth. I am the powerful God, and I will use all means in order to conquer man and to make him rise again in my will. Dearest daughter, I am sorry for Father Beda. Why have the manuscripts not arrived in Rome? Who prevented it? When I know from sure sources that in the Holy Office there were requests from all sides wanting the manuscripts to come out to the light. After all, it seems as if the Lord wants to do everything himself, if not today, tomorrow. Therefore, I recommend that you never go out from within the fiat if you want to be one of those who are called to live in it and to keep in it your place of honor. Now I send you my wishes that you may raise little baby Jesus in your soul and live together with him, watching him constantly in your interior in order to do whatever he does. Say to him, I want to be your facsimile. I send you the wishes of my sister, and with my regards, I say, the little daughter of the divine will. Amen, fiat.
Thank you. So that's using this letter, one of the things that Luisa mentions here is that when things go south for people, we lose friends, right? We see that in the gospel today, in the Passion, right? I do not know the man. Three times, I do not know him. And this can happen to us too, but in living in the gift of the divine will, we have to be always, we have to have this hope that even in the most difficult situations, believing that God is there with us, that even when we encounter difficulties understanding this gift or being discouraged, we have to understand and to have that hope that even though we don't feel it, God is operating. I mean, His will is operating in there. I think I explained in previous sessions that we have also to be clear that when we say the divine will is the will of the Blessed Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, is not others. The divine will is not a separate entity. Is the will of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Trinity. And what we see in the person of our Lord Jesus is that will operating in a human nature, in perfect harmony. So when we say the divine will, when we say the will of God, is the same thing. Now we use the second person of the Blessed Trinity because for us is our link. Jesus is our mediator. And in order to have access to the Blessed Trinity completely, to the Father, to the Holy Spirit, and to Jesus Himself, we needed that humanity united with His divinity, so that we may be sons and daughters in the Son. And in this way, we become those many that the Catechism talks about in 381, that He's the first one of many that will come later, the firstborn of many. So in living this will, this gift, we have to understand that it is about entering into the very life of God Himself. And the will of God really taking over, taking over our human will, but in a way that we consent, is not forced. So even though we don't see how our soul expands, even though we don't see that how it works in us, we have to have that hope that is there operating in us. And whenever we go to trials, we have to have that hope also that He is there in the very trial, in that very moment. Because we see hope in two ways. Yes, hope that one day we'll go to heaven, to eternal life. That's in the future. The hope that things will get better. But also to hope and to believe that He's here with us, He's operating in us. And what he's asking, Luisa Picaretta says, to Miss Regibus, he says, do not be afraid, do not fear. Again, she's talking on behalf of our Lord Jesus. So he's saying, our Lord Jesus is saying, do not fear, give me all your acts that I may raise and nourish my life in you. Basically, so that I may repeat my life in you. Because right now he doesn't have that human nature that he possessed when he walked in Jerusalem. Now he has a glorified body, a resurrected body. But now what he did through nature, now he can do by participation if we let him. He can operate in us. If we let him, if we give, if he tells us how, give me all your acts. So we give our acts to the Lord, and then we declare that we want to give these acts not only for our good, but the first reason is so that we may possess the highest good, which is His will. So if we possess his will, then everything will go in order. Everything will be reordered in us. It's like the little sensors that we are missing, that everybody's missing. You know? Once you put that sensor in there, everything starts functioning in the way we are supposed to function. But because we are still in this world, we are still gonna encounter suffering, trials, and things like that. Difficulties, but now it will have a higher purpose. It will not be wasted. It will be for our own good. We will have the highest good, which is God Himself living in us, and He will provide for everything. Then, sacred scripture again will be fulfilled in us. Seek first the kingdom of God, and everything will be given unto you. We should be so familiar. I think it's Matthew 16:33, if I'm correct. I don't have the reference here right away, but I think that's Matthew 16:33. We should remember that all the time. It should be part of us now in relation with the gift, you know? Let me go through this. To the second part of this passage, because now our Lord Jesus is talking about redemption. He says, after that, I follow my beloved Jesus in the acts he did in redemption. I try to follow him word by word, work by work, step by step. I wish nothing will escape me, so that I might press him and ask him in the name of all his acts, tears, prayers, and pains for the kingdom of his divine will in the midst of creatures. Right there, because this is what he had in mind. That now it makes sense that he will teach the Our Fathers. That's the only prayer that he taught. He was already offering everything. Luisa Picaretta says, every work, every word, every step, everything he did for the kingdom of the divine will in the midst of creatures. So this is what we are called to do, especially during Holy Week or when we read the Hours of the Passion. In a very specific way, we enter into that part of our Lord Jesus, of the life of our Lord Jesus. So we offer every tear, every drop of blood that he shed for us, every scorching that he received, every humiliation, everything that we see in the hours of the Passion, we offer it for the gift to this end. And my honorable Jesus told me, my daughter, when I was on earth, my divine will, which reigned in me, right? We understand that our Lord Jesus always, when he preached, he used the mystery of his person to teach. When he says the kingdom of heaven is at hand, yes, it's right there, it's in their midst, it's in his person. But he's not able to tell them what now he's telling us because they will not be able to understand it. But then he says at the end, when I go, I will send you, right? The advocate. He will remind you. Even to the disciples, he says, I have much to tell you, but you will not be able to understand it. So this is what he was referring. This is the fullness of his teaching. So my divine will My divine will which reign in me by nature, so that's the doctrine of the church, yes. And that same will which was present and reign in all created things, kiss each other at each other encounters. In longing for their encounters, they will make feasts, and all created things will compete in order to meet me and give me the homage that befitted me. As the earth will hear my steps, it will become green again and flower under my feet to give me homage. So all nature, basically all creation, recognize in the person of our Lord Jesus the reigning of his will in there. They recognize the true God in the person of our Lord Jesus. And now what he's telling us that we should also recognize that presence of the divine will, the will of God, the will of the Blessed Trinity operating in the person of Jesus, the human Jesus. And this is what we are called to do. Now we understand how to offer the works of creation and how to go in the works of redemption, everything that our Lord Jesus did in his humanity, yes, to offer every single heartbeat of his for the kingdom to come. Every word, every step, every tear. All his suffering, all his acts, to offer them for the kingdom to come, because this is the purpose that he was doing everything. So, since these acts of our Lord Jesus are already in line, we have just to remember also to recall, and we know very specifically how to do it in the hours of the Passion. So, with that in mind, let's leave it there for today. If you have questions, we will open later. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon each one of you and remain with you forever.